This is the Creative Sports Podcast.
My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me are Brock Rahm.
Okay, so we're going to rewind that back.
Karina Anglada.
Going to be pressing that follow, subscribe, like button.
And Darius Thomas.
A little friendly fire there. It's not about where you start. Well, at least that's a mantra my friend Will says. And that's the case for today's guest, Lakia Bailey, creative director at the University of Kentucky. Bailey, a former NAIA college basketball player, got her start in an unconventional way and worked her way to get to where she is today. With a communications background, she found a pathway in working for her institution, wearing a lot of hats, and just kept her head down and pressed forward. Team, not you, Lakia. Do a little thing here where we go to time that is. And are we there? Are we there?
Yes.
Are we there?
Yes.
Are we there?
Hopefully 31. We hit this one a little closer than we have been hitting it.
32. Wasn't too bad.
That was the closest one so far.
That was probably the best one.
Yeah.
Maybe because my camera was a little off.
That may be the reason that all of that kind of worked.
Yeah, you're not distracting us?
No.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Don't worry, on my end, it sounded 3 miles off. So,
oh, no.
That's just your browser.
It's like a cascade of claps.
Cascade.
Do you have an interest in adding motion design to your skill set, but just aren't sure where to start? Welcome to Baller Effects, your source for sports content and motion tutorials. From tips and tricks to long-form tutorials and project deep dives, there's a lot to take in. There's even a free mini course playlist called How to Animate Sports for Social. This playlist will take you step by step through the process of creating a 5-second animated player stat graphic. For your sport specific motion training, visit BallerFX on YouTube and get started today.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Creative Sports Podcast. We continue our Black History Month coverage. Actually, we wrap it up with one of the best designers in the sports industry. We have Lakia Bailey, who's the creative director at University of Kentucky. Lakia, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm excited about this.
So let's just jump right into it. Talk about your journey to getting where you are today at the University of Kentucky.
So a little bit about my background. So I'm originally from South Carolina. I played basketball my whole life, sports just in general. I ended up receiving a full scholarship to go to the University of Pikeville in Pikeville, Kentucky. A lot of you guys probably don't know where that is, but it's Eastern Kentucky. So I went to school there and I played basketball for 4 years. And after I graduated, I actually received a job offer at the university, and I was working in marketing and public relations. Working in that position, you know, I had the opportunity to work alongside of admissions and development, you know, to help with recruiting and retention and all that, you know, just in a nutshell, just to help with, you know, the university's goal of, you know, trying to recruit students to the university. You know, during my first 3 months there, I think we had a graphic designer that stepped down and she found another position. So at this point, I didn't really know a lot about design. But I've played around with desktop publishing, you know, things like that. And I've always been creative, you know, in general, just growing up. I feel like you can always, you know, find me doodling on paper, drawing sketches and stuff like that. So, you know, at this point, I'm, you know, trying to figure out, you know, like, you know, what I want to do, you know, long term. You know how it is when you're right out of college and you're just trying to figure out, like, you know, where do I belong? Like, what's my path? What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And so I, you know, at the time, I was just trying to figure out, like, what is that going to be? I want to stay around sports, and how do I do that? So with that being said, you know, I would take any downtime that I had, and I would teach myself, you know, how to design. I had all the Adobe software, everything on my computer, you know, to teach me how to design. So with that being said, I pretty much, like, would, you know, doodle around and, you know, make things. And I got comfortable enough to where I, you know, presented a few things to my boss at the time. And she was like, "You did this?" And I was like, "Yeah, I mean, it can't be that hard, you know?" So I took that opportunity there and I kind of presented, like, an idea. Like, we didn't really have anybody in athletics, like, full time, you know, designing for the teams. And we had 23 sports. So I ended up, you know, designing some things for athletics, but I was also like designing for admissions and the medical school, just, you know, overall, because we had to create everything for the, you know, the entire university and all the other colleges. So with that being said, I, you know, kind of jumped into that role. And, you know, my boss, you know, she saw that I really had a passion for what I was doing. And so she like, you know, bought into it and like freed up enough of my time to like, hey, like teach yourself more, like, you know, get better at your craft because I see that you have a passion behind this. And so I'm really, you know, I ended up working there and worked my way up. And I actually became the primary graphic designer while I was still in public relations. And then when we had a new AD who came aboard, which was the current basketball coach there, Coach Kelly Wells, he actually created a position for me to come down full time to work in athletics. So I was like the head graphic designer, the assistant sports information director, and assistant to the AD. So, you know, I am now getting all the knowledge from the administrative side and then also just, you know, creative and trying to help, you know, set the creative tone, like what is that going to look like for the sports moving forward? And I was just the one person like in athletics. I'm sure you guys know, just, you know, working in athletics in general, I feel like we all wear so many hats. And, you know, that's just really kind of how I got my start on this whole journey to like be a creative.
So you talked about, you know, just kind of picking up graphic design on your own and learning it yourself. What was your official major then in college? What did you graduate with before you started graphic design?
So, communications, that was my major. That's what I ended up graduating with a communications degree. And so, you know, with some of those classes, I feel like cross over to like marketing courses and stuff like that. So, you know, that's where I kind of gained the experience of working in like desktop publishing. Not crazy how it is with Photoshop, but, you know, with the basics of how to do things and, you know, make flyers and stuff.
I think it's a story we hear in this industry a lot is you just had the determination and the grind to figure it out yourself, right? And put yourself in that position. Transitioning from a smaller school like that, where you were the one person band, right? You did it all, to someplace like the University of Kentucky, where you're not the only person, right? What was that transition like? And what were the positives of your background with that? And what were the negatives? Were there things you had to kind of let go and just be like, okay, that's not my job anymore?
Well, for one, I can say, you know, working now with a full team, that was like incredible because, you know, now I actually have people who can help critique my work, you know, and help me along the way to tell me, you know, like, hey, like, let's do this to kind of take it over the top. Or, you know, maybe I should have chose this better than this layer or something like that. I'm just working with the team in general, I feel like, you know, helps you develop more and then you learn from each other. And, you know, it kind of stems back to me being like a basketball player. I'm just a team player in general. So I feel like that just kind of, you know, go hand in hand, you know, to working together, you know, as a team. And so really like wearing like so many hats at a smaller university, I felt like when I actually went in on my interview, you know, and I kind of, you know, said all the things that I've done and they were like, wow, like that's amazing, you know, because a lot of people don't really get the opportunity sometimes to, you know, do all the things that I've, you know, been able to do. I mean, I worked on the marketing and promotion side. So I was, you know, out in the community making partnerships with different, you know, businesses to bring in, you know, like promotional stuff that we can do for the athletics programs. And so we, you know, doing that just, you know, all in a nutshell, I felt like that really, really helped me like really grow more as a person and just have such a diverse portfolio, you know, just, you know, look, you know, moving forward to like what that next big thing was, which helped me get to where I am at today at UK.
You had mentioned the administrative side of things, which is interesting to get that insight early on in your career. What kind of things were you able to take and implement and maybe understand more holistically across what people were looking for, what they wanted when you were going to make the graphics?
Well, like working with like bigger brands, I felt like that kind of, you know, gave me the, you know, more insight on how bigger brands work, you know, when it comes to, you know, their brand in general. How do you mix that with your brand and, you know, just the partnerships in general, just to make that, you know, flow, you know, long term and, you know, just kind of, you know, engage with those brands and like, how can we build on that with the athletes and like get them more involved in things like that?
And when you're working on like any design or you start a project, I feel like a lot of times it's storytelling and mm-hmm. it's, you probably have that marketing mindset of like, what is the message I'm getting across? How do you start? What is your first like thought in terms of like the higher message of each design that you make?
So for one, I can say, so right now, I don't know if I said it before, but right now football and baseball are my two sports. Those are the two sports that I've designed for. And then I help oversee all the camp creative for all the sports at the university. So basically, you know, I just take, I start like try to like, I create assets, like my sports, like what that vision is going to look like, right? So, and then, you know, along with, we have communicators meetings for each sport. So we have like someone there for marketing, which I work very close with those guys, you know, just to kind of talk about like, you know, how things are going to flow throughout the season. Like, is there going to be a theme for this season? We're very close with the coaching staff too, because they kind of give insight too. And then, you know, in certain, in sometime, basically I can say, hey, this is, you know, a thought of what I had. Like, maybe we can see if this is going to work for the season. And then, you know, once they buy in and everybody else buy in, then it's kind of, okay, it's a go. So basically I create like the assets, you know, and really when you're talking to me about a project, like, I'm already in my head, like generating ideas, like, okay, like this is how I could take this project and run with it, you know, and I'm already like thinking of ideas of, you know, things like that. Like, what can I do? So really it's just kind of, you know, like, you know, how I feel like I set the tone as to what I'm going to do. Once I create the creative direction for the season and I kind of like, you know, go off of that look, and then also getting more input from, you know, the communicators as a whole, like the marketing group, working hand in hand with them. And then that just kind of stems to what I'm going to make the visual look like.
That's how I know you're a real, real creative, because as a project comes at you, you're already thinking about all these different ideas and directions that you can go in. And yeah, I think that's the beauty and the curse of our industry is like, you can go in so many different directions, but listening to what, you know, that your teammates are mentioning or the coaching staff or administration, it sounds like you, and you mentioned it, you kind of define yourself as a team player and you're very collaborative. Can you speak to what collaboration means to you in the work that you do on a daily basis?
You know, just really like just, you know, helping out, you know, each other. I mean, you know, we don't, like, I know that everyone's plate is full and there shouldn't be really a reason that anybody should fall behind because, you know, this person on the team can help and that person on the team can help. So I feel like just as a whole, like, that's why we have to really like work together hand in hand. Even in my department, in the creative department, we have, you know, weekly staff meetings just among us, you know, just to talk about things that are coming up throughout the week. And, you know, when we discuss like different things in those meetings, that kind of help, like, hey, like, I have an idea, just throw your way, like, maybe you can do this. And, you know, and then they're like, oh, yeah, like, I didn't even think about that. So really, like, those meetings, like, really help, you know, with you know, what you're doing and creating and works hand in hand together, just to kind of, you know, help that person like grow in what they're doing. In the same way with me, like, you know, I take feedback, you know, the good, bad, the ugly, like, because at the end of the day, that helps me as a creative, like, grow more and more into my craft. And if you're in this industry, like, you can't get your feelings hurt, you know, just because, you know, that's just how it is. You have a whole fan base that you're creating things for. Yes, you're going to get on social media. You may see things out there, but listen, hey, just take it in and just, you know, figure out like, what am I going to do next? Just to make, you know, everybody else happy on the other end.
You had mentioned working football and baseball. I'm curious, holistically, do you start with more of the Kentucky brand that then you work from, and you were just mentioning working with other designers in your department and helping each other out that way? Does that give you the base that you then build from, or does each sport get their own look and feel across the whole season based on their themes or whatever you talk through with the team, the coaches, or the marketing department?
So basically, you know, the Kentucky brand itself, I mean, you know, is bleed blue everything. So, you know, we are basically honed in on the UK brand. I mean, that's just, you know, everything we live for here. I mean, everybody's all about. But really, you know, whenever you take, for example, I'm trying to think, like recently, I had like a project that I was working on, and I think it was like with marketing, and they basically were like, you know, like we have this campaign that we're going to work on. Like, how do we like go hand in hand and like make this happen, you know, with like the development office and all these other offices. And basically, like I said, it kind of stems back to like the groups, like the communicators groups. And, you know, we come together, you know, talk about a brand. But in the beginning of the season, I can tell you that we have like some templates that are based for some of the other sports that we kind of like, you know, create like what their posters are going to look like for the season. You may see some things different from football, men's basketball, and women's basketball, and maybe several other sports depending on, you know, like championship season. If we, you know, won a championship, and some things may look a little different. But we basically all, you know, we try to set the whole tone, you know, looking at the whole brand, the UK brand. But like whenever I look at like football and baseball, like I have my own style that I do. Some of the smaller sports per se, you know, some of those people do kind of go off of like templates and stuff like that. So basically that's just kind of it, but kind of honing in on the brand just as a whole. But, you know, trying to like, you know, this is the UK brand and make everything kind of look cohesive overall.
I was going to ask about the templates because I feel like, you know, it's like of the utmost importance nowadays. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we want to focus on quality, but quantity is also there, right? There's so many events, there's so many games, there's so many promotional assets, right, that you're building. What does that like end-to-end workflow look like when you're, you know, starting a template? And then are other people using it, or is it right, like folks that are just designers, like that are like, you know, the heavy, that have the eye for, yeah, that? What does that look like?
So we have, so every team, you know, obviously has a communications director. So basically like the sports information director, right? We create like those.
Yeah, SIDs.
Yeah, stuff like that. We create like templates for those guys and they can use those to update, you know, throughout the season, during the games, you know, things that goes on the video boards and stuff like that. They actually, everybody, they know how to operate Photoshop. And so when we set up like, you know, like, here is this template. They know how to turn this on, turn this off. I actually would set the whole Photoshop file up to where like you really can just click on this, turn it off, turn it on, and all your assets are there. So that kind of helps. And so really like, you know, each designer, we all create templates, you know, for like our person. And they take those and really just, you know, just throughout the season. Therefore, we don't have to like update as much. Because I know like, so my schedule is basically like 9 to 5. So I don't have to work games anymore like I used to. But like if you're a designer and you are working directly like for a team, therefore you are like creating like the recruiting graphics and things like that. Like, so a person that's working in that role, because you're working directly with the team, like you're over with the team, like, you know, the hours are going to be crazy, right? So like with my position, you know, I am in like the athletics department. So therefore, like if men's basketball need help with a creative design or something like that, I can fill in and help with that. You know what I mean? So like really, I don't have to like go crazy and work those long, long hours, you know, like somebody would if they were working on recruiting graphics, because you have so many different recruits coming in. So you have to like really, you know, take that and design for so many people, so many recruits. And basically, that's just like, you know, how the whole work nature is. So like, I would say that mine is a little bit different just because of my hours. But the communicators, they know that, you know, if they need something like, hey, they can just text me, email me, hey, can you help me out with this? And then I'm just like, yeah, I can get that done and like send it back to you.
Karina, you mixed up quality and quantity when it comes to templates.
What do you mean? What did I say?
I mean, just because you create a template doesn't mean you have to sacrifice quality, right?
That is correct. That is correct. I'm not, no shade on the templates. I just, you know, I feel like.
No, I
feel
think like, she was speaking directly about Baller FX as templates.
Yes, yeah. that's Ooh. Exactly right, Brock.
What a friendly fire there.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Yeah, we bang bang. I was gonna say bang bang Niner game. That's too soon. Sorry, Super Bowl was yesterday. Anyway,
by the time this goes out, it'll be fine.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, Justin. Like, I do feel like in the industry, you know, sometimes people turn their nose up a little bit at, like, you know, oh, this is just a template, or oh, this wasn't designed from scratch, or you know, it wasn't. Do you have any hot takes when it comes to design, you know, industry, like, what's the word? Beef, Lakia? Like, I'm curious. Is there anything that you're like, oh, this is, you know, the design industry as a whole thinks this, but I think another way? Do you have any, like, design hot takes?
I mean, no, not really, because I know that every, like, organization is different to where, like, it depends on the manpower that you have, right? So, like,
yeah.
You know, like, if you have those people that can help out, you know, with time, and we can make sure we're hitting all those deadlines, like, you know, you can be more creative, right? But when you're like kind of like a one man shop, I understand that there's some like things that, you know, those designers will have to do and make things more templated than normal because of the time, and they're trying to meet all these other deadlines. So it really, you know, it really kind of, you know, I don't know, like, it really depends on what the whole situation is. You know, if you look at it that way, that's the way that I would look at it. Is, you know,
let's talk about the staff layout at UK. I know you said that you work with a couple of sports, but kind of talk about how for you to be able to work just a couple of sports and not have to work games. Like, what's that setup at UK?
OK, so basically we have a senior creative director and then me, which is the creative director. And we have associate creative director and assistant creative director. Those are the four full-time positions that we have, yep. Right? We also have a person who handles most of men's basketball recruiting graphics, which is through the McClendon Foundation. So that is a minority scholarship. So that role kind of, you know, that role is kind of like a two-year role. You know, we, you know, would take somebody in who, you know, has like, you know, obviously a bachelor's degree, and they can come in and continue to go to grad school if they would like, and, you know, can work in that position. So that gives us, that's the fifth person. Then we have, two internship, you know, positions to where we actually let those students, set the creative direction for their sports. So we try to get them to, you know, a good spot to where they are, you know, able to handle like the creative direction for their sports. So really, you know, it's kind of divided up, you know, fairly, I would say. Now, we do help them and oversee with a lot of things that they're doing because we also understand that they have classes and stuff like that. But basically, if you say we have like really like a 7-man department. But we only handle just basically the graphic design part of it. Now, we do have a video department and we also have photography. So, you know, we work with those guys as well. And, you know, they kind of help out with like all the video aspects. If we need, you know, like a photo shoot or anything like that, those guys kind of help in. But when it just comes to like graphic design, we basically just say we have a 7-man team, 4 of the full timers and then 3, you know, like intern type positions where they work. So that's basically like how our structure is here.
I think one of the hardest things from working in college athletics on the creative side myself, and Darius may or may not agree with this, since you were in college athletics recently as well, is keeping a consistent brand across so many sports with so many stakeholders. Is that something you deal with at Kentucky? And if so, how do you combat that and educate about that?
So actually, you know, I told you, we, you know, have these weekly meetings that we meet in, and we're trying to really like hone in more on like the styles, you know, the fonts, because we know sometimes people can be all over the place when it comes to different font styles that you're using. So, you know, the school, we have our own branded, you know, fonts that are in the brand guidelines that we use on everything. Mm-hmm. But there's also like a few, you know, that you can use on other things like that. So really, you know, within those groups, that's why we really talk about, like, you know, make sure you're using the right blues. Even when you use gradients, tie that blue in to make sure that, you know, things are kind of looking to, you know, the same overall. And we're not just kind of going in all these different directions. You know, like we have a project management system, and when, you know, that's where we submit the projects for review and people can, you know, make comments, changes and things like that. And a lot of that comes from all the people on those reviews that are seeing that, and they kind of to give feedback as to, I think that blue may be a little bit off, or, you know, things like that. But I do encourage the interns, especially, and even anybody else, you know, on the team, like, hey, if you think things may look a little bit off, like, it's okay to, like, say, hey, can you come in here and, like, take a look at this for a second, just to kind of get a feel for it, you know, in the visual, to see, like, how this is and how it's going to look when it's out, you know, on social media and things like that, just to make sure that we're still, like, staying, you know, on top of the brand and delivering the same message. But, you know, trying to, like, you know, let those other creators, like, create their own direction, but together, like, how do we look overall?
Yeah, I like that question, because a lot of times we try to keep creatives in a box because of the brand. You know, when you have big known brands like some of the schools that I worked at, you know, it's, they try to stifle the creation instead of, like, moving ahead and modernizing and all of that. So what's the balance there of letting, you know, kind of pushing the bounds as long as it's within, you know, it kind of expanding the box per se? Like, what's the balance of doing that?
It's really, you know, especially the interns, I tell them, you know, it's okay to step outside of the box, because we know that, you know, you guys, you know, see things out there that are, you know, that I don't see. You know, they may look at different social media handles and stuff like that. And, you know, they kind of, you know, taking, like, hey, I seen this cool idea that I want to do. For example, recently, this actually just happened. We had an intern, like, he's really getting really, really good at his craft right now, right? So he's, you know, during that downtime, he's practicing on all these cool techniques and things like that that he can do. So, you know, he's, you know, drafting up this project and, like, what that's going to look like. And I love it. Like, he's, like, really going, like, outside of the box and really teaching himself, like, all these different cool things to do. But, you know, then it's like when you have that conversation, you're like, you know, how do we get it to where, like, it really fits the brand more? And not knocking the creativity, but how do we get it to fit the brand more as to, like, what, you know, you're doing? Like, should this be something that maybe, you know, could be like on one of those one-off graphics, like if it was a championship graphic or something where you kind of go over the top, you know, but, you know, when it's just something that's like, you know, that's going to be like a smaller graphic or something like that. And that's going to be like, you know, bi-weekly, like, or every other week, like, do you, you know, create something like so crazy like that? Or do you just kind of hone in more on, you know, the smaller projects, or you go like big? So basically that recently just happened. And like after having the conversation, like the student actually understands now, you know, more, because we did have that conversation. And it's like, I still tell them, like, hey, keep going at it. Like, keep, like, you know, figuring out how to create these cool techniques that you're seeing out there. Like, because this is what sets you apart, you know, because you know how to do something special that maybe the next person doesn't. And maybe that's what helps your, like, job, you know, your creative work, like, goes over the top, you know, and like that. So that's basically, like, the feedback that I gave. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, made a few edits, and then boom, that graphic was approved by everybody.
Shout out to you. That's amazing. I just want to say that is so amazing for me to hear, because I feel like a lot of times, you know, people might receive feedback and the answer in that moment might be no, not today. But I love that you are pushing for, hey, it might not work for this particular project, but maybe the next one, and not completely squashing ideas, because, you know, like you said, it can evolve into something else. So shout out to you for your approach there. I love that.
So going back to like the staff, right? So you have about 7 on the graphic side. What's the relationship like with when you're coming up, like with, you have the photography department and you have the video department, like how are you all working together to ensure that everything, like, are they giving some creative input or is graphic kind of leading the push or is video, and how does all of that, like, does video look like the graphics?
Yeah. So like if you, I don't know if you look at our handles and you see some of the videos that we create, like our video guys are amazing. They're not like trying to just create like all these like animated, you know, videos like that, you know, really is basically focusing on like, you know, the highlights, the sports and stuff like that. So really, you know, like I said, it kind of comes out of those communicators groups. You know, we talk during those meetings. There's a video person there for that sport, photographer there, and then marketing, which, you know, a lot of the ideas, you know, talking as a group, we kind of, you know, talk about the direction, like how is this going to play out and things like that. So, you know, we do share assets to help along with that so that, you know, things can look the same overall at the end. So basically, like a lot of that do kind of come from those meetings that we have.
And one more thing about staff. I know you mentioned the McClendon Foundation and that scholarship that was established a few years ago and hasn't gone anywhere like some of the other DEI initiatives around the country. Kind of talk about that position. And I think Coach Cal was very instrumental in some of that as well. But kind of talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, Coach Cal, that position there really, you know, it stems like that position in general, the one, you know, designing for men's basketball, that was really like his whole idea to like, you know, how could we create this scholarship, you know, to help, because, you know, some minorities don't really get that opportunity, you know, and so this scholarship is specifically designed just for, you know, those students, and it kind of gives them, you know, an avenue to come in, you know, work with the creative services department, but also, you know, with the coaches and the teams and know about the recruits and, you know, and that are coming in. And you kind of like, you know, from following those recruits, you know, it kind of gives you a way to know the personalities of these players. So when you're creating these cool graphics for them, you can kind of make it more personal and, you know, things like that. But that position has been around, like I said, for a few years now. We have actually a student right now who is on her 2-year term with this position. And God, I wish that we could keep her around a little bit longer because she's great. She's amazing. But I know that, you know, time is about to come to where she's about to take that next step to what, you know, that new job looked like. But we also have some other McClendon, you know, positions, you know, that work, you know, under those scholarships. Like they could work in the athletic communications department, you know, operations and things like that. So it's not just for just men's basketball, but we, cause we do have other McClendon, you know, opportunities, you know, for those minorities.
Well, shout out to her and, you know, shout her out if you want, you know, somebody maybe out there hiring who's looking for a great, great designer.
I know, Star Shaw, she's amazing. Yeah, she is amazing. She started out with me as an academic intern. And when, you know, that semester came to an end, I talked to her and I was like, hey, like, you know, do you want to take on a role of being like a full-time intern, you know, until she graduates? And she did. And then she ended up getting the McClendon Foundation position. And then she's worked 2 more years. She's also gotten her master's, you know, while during her time and everything. And so, yeah, she's amazing. I mean, she did like an internship with ESPN, which I know that they love her. And I mean, she's just excelling out there. So she, yeah, big shout out to her. She really is killing it.
I have a question on that.
Uh-huh.
What is it about her that makes her so awesome to work with? Because I feel like on this pod, we've got a lot of folks that are interested in, you know, making their in or taking it to that next level. What advice do you have, you know, that you, with the people that you have worked with, the people that have that like it factor, what are the skills? What are the traits that they have that really sets them apart?
So when she started, you know, as just an academic intern, you know, and she, you know, had a strong marketing background and, you know, just really getting into like her craft with graphic design, like within that semester, like just from the beginning to the end of that semester, like all I seen was just growth. right? Like she was really like growing so much. And then if you go back, because even sometimes I go back and I'll look at like something I created like months and months ago, comparing it to something that I'm doing right now. And I'm like, whoa, like I could see a lot of growth in that, right? So with her, you know, basically, you know, that's what I see in her is the growth and, you know, stepping outside of the box, creating those cool ideas, you know, and things that you can do. Now, when it comes to like the whole recruiting graphics, you know, you see recruiting graphics and people kind of really go over the top with those, you know, and stuff like that, which is cool because I was like, you know, I wanted to see like more like what can she do? And the first thing that she put up in review, I was like, wow, like this is amazing. And so I knew that she, you know, was that perfect fit, you know, to like for that position and to move on in Excel. So really just thinking outside of the box and just bringing like that creative energy daily, you know, to work and, you know, not afraid to say, you know, your ideas out loud. Sometimes we may say things and we're like, this is a crazy idea, but how can we make this work? And so that's one thing I can say is like just stepping outside of the box and just like, you know, learning your craft more. And that really sets you apart at the end of the day.
Do any of you work outside of the Kentucky brand, freelancing or doing other things in your downtime just for a different outlet that then you can bring back with you? How does that work?
Yes, we do. We have some designers that do take on freelance opportunities, you know, just, you know, especially to, you know, with the interns and stuff and anybody. I mean, just to make, you know, some extra cash on the side, but also, you know, being able to create things like not just always sport related, you know. Like, for example, with myself, like I've created some things on a real estate, you know, for a real estate company, you know, which looks totally different from what I'm doing. Like I love music, like I'm really big on music. So like I look at a lot of like album covers and, you know, things like that. And I'm thinking like, man, like how can I take that and like put this together with this and like make this more like an athletic feel or things like that. So I feel like working on different things like really helps with your portfolio because, you know, if you go apply for a job and you only have just like, you know, you could do the job because they see your portfolio, but you only have just this one, you know, like direction that you're going in or, you know, avenue, I would say like in sports. But when you have like all those other things, then that shows that you're very diverse and you understand overall the creativity for not just one brand, but different brands.
You talked about your love for music. In, you know, in our pre-podcast kind of questionnaire, how much of that are you taking daily? And, you know, Kentucky has a lot of shows, just like, you know, many of the cities that we live in. How much are you getting out to some of those music shows and concerts there?
I try to get out as much as possible. Like we have Rupp Arena, which is where the men's basketball team play. And shout out to the women's sports this year because Memorial Coliseum is under construction. Gymnastics, women's basketball, and volleyball actually had the opportunity this season to do a takeover Rupp Arena for women's sports. And so they actually have a lot of concerts there. We have a lot of local venues here that, you know, have a lot of live acts. And, you know, where I'm at in Lexington, I'm not that far from Louisville. I'm not that far from Cincinnati. So, like, there's a lot of places to go, you know, closest to this area to, like, go see artists, you know, and things like that. And, I mean, they have so many artists that are coming in. So, I mean, we always have something to do. And, like, Drake's coming soon, so I'm very excited about that, which, you know, the whole BBN fan base is so excited about that. But yeah, I'm very excited about that to see him and J. Cole. But I don't just listen to just rap. Like I listen to all kind of stuff. I mean, indie rock, I know, crazy. Like people are like, you listen to that? I'm like, yeah, like I listen to that. Like I love different music. Like that's me. Yes, I listen to some country. Like I'm just kind of all over the place when it comes to music. But hey, when you go to a party or something, you know all the jams that are coming on. So like, listen, I love
speaking of country. There was a big drop during the Super Bowl.
Hey.
Of a country album. What are your thoughts on this new album coming out?
Okay. Beyonce.
God, I know you guys are excited for this answer, but I know I fell asleep like right towards the end of the game. I know. Tell me, like, what was the drop? Come on, what was the drop? I know.
Yonsei, for those who might not know or didn't catch it, I didn't catch it at first, I'll be honest. Beyonce was featured in the Verizon commercial.
I caught it.
Shout out to Verizon. Yes. And at the very end, she said, drop the new music. Or yeah, I forget the what music. The actual word was. And then, of course, the interwebs went crazy and she posted. And so that's kind of was her announcement of a new country album. I think one of the tracks is called Texas
and 16 characters. Yeah.
So you mentioned country.
Yes, actually, I did catch that during the commercial, and I got on Apple Music and Spotify because they had just released it on there. So I didn't know about that. Yeah, I thought you guys were talking about something that was totally different. I listened to the jam on the way home last night because it was already out once that commercial went off.
I thought y'all were talking about Taylor Swift. No.
She made an announcement at the Grammys.
Yeah, she's dropping a new album. Shout out to the Swifties. We're a lover of all music.
Yes. Shout out. We love them. I love what you said. You know, I feel like sometimes, and I don't know, maybe I get this. I don't know if you guys feel the same way sometimes, but like, I'm Puerto Rican and, you know, yes, I love reggaeton. I love Bad Bunny, like the rest of them. But I actually love country music too. And people are like, what? Yeah. You like country? But for me, I'm like, music. If it's good music, it's good music, right? Like, it doesn't matter the genre. I will say I can't get down with the heavy metal. But like, that's probably the one category.
It takes a special person to get down with heavy metal.
You know,
we're not gonna hate on that, some of my closest friends love heavy metal sometimes, like some artists kind of lean into some heavy metal. I used to use heavy metal a lot for highlight videos. It works. It's really good energy. It gets the people going, no pun intended, but you know, you spoke about women's sports. One of the best athletes that has come through the whole university is Ron Howard. Kind of talk about your time working with her and some of the projects that you may have worked on with her while she was there and after.
Well, big shout out to Ron Howard because she is amazing. I mean, she is really killing it in the WNBA. You know, like when she was, you know, at UK, you know, I mean, just in general, you know, a lot of people sometimes don't give you the credit that you deserve. So, you know, we ended up starting this campaign and it was the Crown Her campaign. And basically, it really kind of like comes from the Billie Eilish song, You Should See Me in a Crown. You know, basically, because we're like at the end of the day, like, let's give props to this girl. Like, she's killing it, right? You know, the women's basketball team, like her senior year, they went, I don't know if you guys, you know, watched the season, but they went on a 9-game winning streak towards the end of the season. And they actually went on to the SEC tournament and ended up winning the championship.
They beat South Carolina, right?
That was amazing. Yeah. Yes, they beat South Carolina. And it was like, we haven't won in 40 years. So like, that was amazing that we did that. And it was just like, you know, some people had a lot of doubt that we were even going to make it that far, but we did. Like, those girls pulled together at the end of the day and they made it happen. But like, leading up to, like, we were doing this campaign and Crown Her, hashtag Crown Her, like, we put it on a lot of the graphics that, you know, had Ryan Howard on it throughout the season. But towards the end of the season, you know, talking with the marketing group, they were like, hey, like, let's do a campaign, you know, with Senior Day approaching, which we called it the Ryan Howard Day. We created these like these paper crowns. They're kind of like, if you think back to when Burger King used to have the Burger King crowns. And so we created those and we branded it. Like, you know, we had Ron Howard name on it. Like, it was really cool. The women's basketball logos and stuff like that. And we also made these posters that were basically for Ron Howard Day. And we gave these out. I think we printed probably like 10,000 of them. But the day of the game, we had a line out around the corner and fans were waiting to go in the door. We gave out those paper crowns and those posters. The fan base like wore the crowns during the game. It was so awesome. And even when Ryan took her last, you know, walk out to go sit on the bench, she put her crown on. And it was amazing. Even the people on, you know, ESPN, they were all talking about it, which was, you know, it was so dope. And to see the impact with the fans and everybody just, you know, just going nuts about it, right? And even a lot of them took it to the SEC championship tournament and they were wearing it, especially during the championship game. And I mean, it was amazing. It really was. But actually with that campaign, you know, I actually won an award through Litho. It is our production management system. They actually do put on like a they do like an award ceremony where, you know, all these different brands can, you know, like, you know how to just with any submission that you can submit a project or something to. But yeah, I won an award with that and it was amazing. And I think like over, you know, at the end, if you look like at the numbers, basically like this whole thing like got over like 3 million impressions, like all over social media, the shares and everything. I mean, we created so many graphic components, you know, with this whole thing and just overall, just the whole BBN fan base, just like, just wow, like this is amazing. So like that was like a really, really, like really good spot, a really good time just to kind of see that like in the fan base and, you know, just all the fans just happy. And then her leaving and then being the number one draft pick that year, like what? Like that was amazing. Like it was amazing.
So, I have chills. Yeah. I have chills.
I know it was that. Awesome. It really was. It was so awesome. And like with her being at the Dream now, I mean, I've actually became really good friends with their creative director there too. I mean, because we, you know, still create some of those graphics, you know, when she, you know, scores so many points a game or whatever. I'm not the women's basketball designer anymore. But, you know, I played basketball my whole life. So, like, basketball just always going to be in my heart. And I love it. So, yeah, big shout out to Ron Howard.
Speaking of that, you played basketball. You kind of skipped over that you played in college. What position and you know, what was that? We're going to treat you.
So I was a forward.
To see if you actually scored.
And for my size, you know, I was very, very fast. So, you know, the end of the game, when it's those, we having those tough games and you need somebody who's going to really guard the point guard, I was that girl at times. So, yeah, I was like, big ups to me, like being a forward. But here I am out here like guarding like a point guard.
So you guarded the 1-4.
That's awesome.
Okay. Shout out to
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So really, that's just really kind of how I've, you know, wanted to stay around sports. I knew, you know, I wasn't, you know, going to go on and, you know, play a professional career. I played at a smaller NAIA school. And so, you know, I was like, you know, what can I do to stay around sports? And so that's why, you know, I figured out this whole path and I love it. It's a passion of mine. And I'm glad to be on this journey.
And we talked, you know, to quite a few people who are former athletes, a lot of former basketball players recently. Like, talk about that transition as, you know, now we have NIL and we have people who think that they're going to go play professional sports. But there's an actual avenue of, you know, athlete to creative, and some of them are very creative. How do they kind of unlock that or, you know, find that pathway outside of the sport?
You know, if you have, you know, just if, you know, some people, you know, obviously we all want to go on and play professional ball. Is that going to happen to everybody? No, it's not. So like, what is that backup plan for you? Right. Like I think about myself for, you know, and just in general, I feel like the transition from playing sports and then now working in it, like I get it. Like, and not saying that you have to play sports to get it, but I like, you know, as being an athlete, I've been on that side, you know, I kind of, you know, go on my own personal experiences and stuff like that. And, you know, that at the end of the day, you know, helps me be a better creative because I do understand, like, you know, just, you know, being even a little girl, like you're looking at these billboards riding down the street and you're like, wow, like I would love for that to be me one day up there on that billboard. You know, and so with me doing this now, just like, you know, building my own craft and, you know, creating these graphics for athletes just as a whole, like, I love it. Like, just to see, like, the smiles on these parents' faces when they, you know, pick up a flyer that their son or daughter are, you know, on, like, that just at the end of the day, like, just, it's just wow, you know, it's just a really proud moment for me. But, like, yeah, we do live in a different space now, you know, with NIL and things like that. But, you know, I just say, just as being an athlete and transitioning over like to the whole NIL space, like it's all about building your own brand, like as a player, you know, to really put yourself out there more, just to kind of really help with, you know, you connecting with all these other brands, because that's what they want. You know, somebody that could really like be a really positive, you know, image for their brand, and just to kind of push, you know, push everything forward for their brand.
You talked about building. I'm going to throw this one to Karina to play her game of what's in your toolkit.
Yes. We got to add some theme music here. I'm excited. All right. So we've been asking guests and timing them. So you have 30 seconds to list everything, as many things as possible, that's in your daily design and work toolkit. Right. So I'm not going to give you much time to think. So I've got my timer. It can be anything. It can be literally anything. You mentioned Drake. It could be a Drake album, right? It could be your phone. I gave you two hints there. No, you're not being graded on this, but you have 30 seconds. What is in your toolkit? Ready, set, go.
All right. So I really love what the Phoenix Suns are doing. Their creative team, like, they're really, really killing it. Skull Sparks, that's another, like, avenue that I look at for different creative directions because of me being in the whole sports creative space, music. I look at different genres, album covers, you know, just concert flyers. What current athletes are doing. God, this is so hard. I try to keep up with different brands.
We gotta insert the basketball buzzer there.
Yeah, we gotta add the basketball buzzer. Yeah. But you dropped some good ones,
you like went a different
Skull
Sparks
and music albums. Like, yeah, that's awesome. Because normally, computer, what people do, they say my phone, stylus. You know, the software. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, you dropped it, like, resources.
Yeah.
No, I love it. That's awesome because I feel like a lot of times, like, that's a common question we all get. Like, what inspires you? Where do you go? Yeah. Where do you find? What do you look at when you're stuck? So that's awesome. I'm about to like look up the stuff.
Yeah, they're really killing it.
That's awesome.
They're killing it.
You're a designer at heart. You're a designer at heart. And one of the other questions that we like to ask when we have designers here, design Twitter. What are your thoughts? And have you ever been in some design beefs on the X app?
No, I haven't been. No, beef is not for me. You know, I see things out there. I take it in. If it is directed towards me, I take it in. And I just help me get better at my craft. You know, I do note like the BBN fan base. They, you know, a lot of fans reach out to me all the time and tell me like such a great job that I'm doing. And plus just being a woman in sport anyways. So like, I don't really get in all the beef. Like, there's just noise, you know? So yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah. That's one of the most interesting things as it relates to sports and design is how much Twitter beef we see in the design space.
Or just other designers calling out like the EA stuff, like, oh, they missed a cutout here. But I feel like people assume so much that, well, this is EA. They had like so many hours, like they had the whole world, but things get missed even on a different level, but why are you spending all your time going back trying to help them correct it when you're not getting paid? I don't know what they wait. You're wasting your time.
Yeah, well, that's like, look, yeah, like you said it earlier, it's like, you know, you gotta stay focused, right? on your own work. And yeah, I think I get it because it's relatable, you know, and you're like, it's kind of like there's a Twitter account that's like uncorrected log footage that's just like calls out all these companies and people.
Not gonna go there.
Right? Like, it's not fully color corrected. Yeah. I think it's kind of like,
maybe that was
I blame Karina's company for export settings. That's what we're gonna blame it on.
Okay, well, we not go get down this rabbit hole. But I do think it's like, you know, Twitter's meant for the chatter, right? Yeah. And I think it is a space. But I'm with you. I think I personally would just never like call out something publicly, because it's just like, you never, like Justin, like you said, you never know. And Lakia, you said it earlier, every team is different. So it's hard to like compare and contrast, like who's doing really, like who's doing it best, right? Because for me, who's doing it best means so many different things. How big is your team? How big is your output? How many teams are you working with? What is your workflow? Exactly. What is your budget? What is your team's budget? Like, that's why it's like we can't really like pigeonhole people and organizations. And, but anyways, that's my tip.
Here's another beef question.
Oh, here we go.
Cause I'm in Texas. Everything's about beef, right? You're a designer, as I said, and a lot of new designers are popping up, but in a non-traditional way with a, you know, with Canva. What is your take on the new, you know, ease of design?
Listen, like, I'm self-taught in design, right? So like, I just like creating my own stuff. I mean, I get it. There are some companies that use Canva to do things. But
shout out to them.
Yeah, shout out to them. But you know, and like you said, we don't know what that budget is. Do they have a person that can do this position? They may just have somebody in the office like, hey, can you quickly put this together? But I do wish that more people would reach out to a freelancer, try to find a freelancer to like, you know, do some of the cool creative things to really like make it more branded, like when it comes to textures and, you know, just things like that, different fonts, all the things. Reach out to those freelancers, people that are just starting out, you know, this career, to give them a chance to, you know, I know when I was, you know, growing up, I was just trying to make a few bucks on the side. So I know we'll have a few people who is trying to do that. But I mean, I get it. I understand. It just comes down to like budget, personnel and things like that. So if Canva is what they want to use, then let them use Canva. But, you know, me personally, like I said, I'm self-taught and, you know, I'm just all about the grind. I would rather use Photoshop, Adobe, anything like all day. That's just me.
Shout out to the company.
Yeah.
And one of my friends actually thinks that I hate Canva. I don't. I understand Canva. I understand like the ease of being able to, one, speed up the process. It's, you know, it gives people a lot of options. It's a little bit, a lot of more affordable than, you know, some other products out there. And there's ways to do it. So with that in mind, on social media, like 70% of what you see now is done in Canva, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it all looks the same. How long will this phase in your mind continue, and how much will it shift back to, okay, I don't want my stuff to look like everyone else?
So I don't think I told you guys, but I used to work in minor league baseball. I worked there for like half a year. When I went to go work for this organization, they were using Canva for everything, all the proposals, everything. With my background in graphic design, what I did was I would create things in Photoshop, you know, and I would take my own creativity and layers and things like that and, you know, save them as PNGs or whatever, add them to Canva as a different asset just to kind of make it a little bit different and not just be so, everything has to be by the guidelines and what you can and cannot do in Canva.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, like, that's what I would do. I mean, I know it's around, it's going to be around for a while. So is Adobe, because I still think you have the people who just really want to put in the work in the grind daily. I don't see Adobe going anywhere. And really Adobe, like, I mean, with the updates, they just get better and better every day. So like, I've been using Adobe since the beginning. And like I said, I didn't want to stop using Adobe and start using Canva. I wanted to like, how can I like put both together, still make it my own look? So that's what I did. So yeah.
Yep. And speaking of AI, how much in your day-to-day have you maybe have incorporated that, or are you like anti AI? Like, what's the, is there any of that incorporation at UK or in any of the other endeavors that you work on?
To be honest, I really don't really use it. That's just me. I don't really use it. You know, I've tried to play around with it. I went to MLC Connect this past summer, and they actually gave, they did like a whole presentation on the, you know, the beta testing at the time, and, you know, let everybody get the link to kind of test it out to see how everything was working or whatever. I mean, it's cool. It really is. But, you know, it's too like now, like everybody's like, is that real? Like, they don't know, like, what's real, you know, or what was just, you know, designed from scratch or whatever. So, you know, like, I don't really dabble in it that much. We do have, you know, some of our, you know, younger designers who, you know, love it. I mean, it is cool. It is cool, but I don't really like dabble in it that much. You know, who knows? But right now, that's not what I'm doing. I'm just creating my own craft and sticking to that for now.
I was going to say, one of the things that I've started to run into that's a challenge when you go to animate things is stock content, right? Yes. Like if a designer pulls something stock or AI or something and you send it to me, in order to for me to animate something, I need to strip it down to the base level. Mm-hmm. So that actually makes things much harder to elevate it in a motion design sense. Yes. if it doesn't start from an original standpoint.
Yes, no, I agree on that 100%. So yeah, I've dabbled in it a little bit just to kind of figure out like how it works, how I operate. I've, you know, seen the presentations on it, stuff like that, but it's not something that I use in my day-to-day grind when I'm designing something. But like I probably can do what I'm doing faster. That's just me. I don't know. That's just me though. Speaking on for myself.
No, I love it. Everyone has their own workflow, what works best for them. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, what design in the past year, because I know if I said your top favorite design of all time would be tough, but what has been the design that you've been most proud of that you've created in the past year?
I'll go to a more recent one. I had the opportunity to create the 400 wins graphic for Coach Cal for 400 wins at the University of Kentucky. And like I said, that was, you know, my boss, you know, he does basketball, and he was like, hey, can you help me out? And it happened to be that project. It was amazing. Just, I feel like that was a very historic win. So that, you know, poster, we actually created posters as well as social media assets that went out to, you know, a lot of the donors and just to the fan base in general. So I would say that there's, just me thinking off top, you know, that was a more recent one and one that I would say that I'm really, really proud of.
You bring up posters. Like, that's a thing that you all seem to do a lot at UK. Kind of talk about the poster series that you all have done over the past year or so.
So this year with football, for the first three non-SEC games, we gave out three posters per game, and they were all on position. They were like position posters. So I got to create those, and, you know, pretty much everybody that was basically like under scholarship or whatever were on those posters to give out. Those were really good. We do a lot of, you know, posters to give out to people. I mean, it's just like a keepsake, you know, and a lot of people, you know, like that to go hang it up, put it in their office and stuff like that. So, I mean, we do a lot of posters. Actually, just be on the lookout. I have some in the works right now for a baseball season. Baseball season starts this weekend, and so I'm excited about that. But we do have a poster series that's coming out during the SEC games this year. So I think that's going to be a really big hit. So just be on the lookout for those.
All right. One of the things we love to do is give advice, give back to the, you know, the up and comers or the dreamers or whatever you may want to call them. What is some of the best advice or biggest pieces of inspiration that you can give to, you know, a younger version of yourself that may, whether it's a person who wants to make that transition, mm-hmm, from athletics to becoming a creative, or a designer who is, you know, in college, who's looking for inspiration or advice on how to become the best version of yourself in this space? What would be your advice?
push yourself daily. Like, set goals, network like crazy, because having a mentor, you could never say that you know everything. So, like, having a mentor, networking with people, you know, not just within your industry, but people outside, because, you know, they also have a voice in things too. And you learn things from different, you know, different people with a, you know, different mindset or whatever. But I would say, really just, you know, be yourself. It's okay to step outside of the box and to push the needle a little bit further. So yeah, just be you at the end of the day, and, you know, look at other, you know, other people's designs, and, you know, learn from that, grow from that, like, figure out how you can, you know, take that, not just by saying, like, copying what they're doing, but, like, put your own spin on it to make it yours and make it unique for yourself. And just grind daily. You have to grind daily. You want to be good at this, like, grind daily.
That was good. I like that. I needed that. I'm inspired now.
Thanks. I needed this too, just to kind of, you know, let it all out.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. Special thanks to APM for providing the music used in the podcast today. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're not a member and would like to join, go to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.